All right, my friends, we are continuing in our journey through the second paragraph of Masechet Sukkah. We're in Chaf Vav on the base 26b. And we're picking up four lines from the top of the Amud with the words Amar Ram. Okay, so the theme of today, or part of this evening, is talking about sleeping. This came up because we were talking about if one is allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. We said you cannot take even a shenas arai, even a nap outside the sukkah. And then we went down a little bit of a rabbit hole talking about can someone take a power nap while they are wearing their tefillin. So we're going to talk about just sleeping during the day in general. We'll circle back to talking about tefillin, and then we'll start a new Mishnah talking about not sleeping outside the sukkah, but a continuation about the theme of eating outside the sukkah. So here we go. So for those joining us, we are four lines from the top of Chaf Base 26b, Amar Rav. Amar Rav, also Adam Lishon b'yom yoser mishinas hasus. In general, it's not good practice to sleep during the day more than a nap of a horse. Okay? For those like myself who don't know how long horses nap for, kama shinas hasus, shisa nishmi, 60 breaths. That's their power nap. Amar Abai, Shenase de Mar, the nap time, sleep of Mar was Kidara. Udara Kid Rebbe, and Rav emulated Rebbe. Udarebbe Kid David, jumping many more generations, and Rebbe emulated David HaMelech. And apparently, Udadavit Kid Susya, David slept like a horse, Udasusya Shisin Nishmi, and a horse sleeps for 60 breaths. So, if you're trying to figure out, if you ever are feeling like your coffee's not helping you and need a power nap in the middle of the day, plan the power nap like a horse and you'll be charging like a horse. I'm sure there's some fun Hasidic attire or some maybe deeper Agadic message to that, but we'll leave it as is. Going forward, Abai would nap, he napped for a really long time. The amount of time it took to travel from the city of Papadisa to Beit Kubi. For those like myself, again, who don't know how long that is, Rashi tells us that it was Shisa Parse, 60 parsos. I don't have the precise calculation, but the point being is much longer than the amount that we just prescribed. So Kari Ale Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef applied the following pasuk to him that is found in Mishlei. Must I talk to Mishnah Sefta? How long will you sleep, O lazy one? When will you get up from your slumber? Isn't that great? At least remember we learned in a previous Mishnah. Was it wasn't that far back? Maybe it was. At the beginning of the second paragraph. We learned that al pi derech b'dichuso, we can learn even from the sicha b'teila of talmidei chachamim, even from just the way they socialize with each other, we can learn Torah lessons. You hear, the way they insulted each other was by quoting Pesukim and Mishlei. Right? That's a madriga. Hi, Tali, do you want to say hi to everybody? And then you go take your bath? We're going to say hi, and then we'll take your bath, okay? Okay. You say good night, everyone. Okay, enjoy your bath. Okay, that commercial break was brought to you by Talia Kurtz. Back to the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. Now we're going to talk about sleeping with tefillin on once again. If someone wants to take it now, again, just a reminder that it was practiced back in the day that that men wore their tefillin throughout the course of the day, not just for Shacharis. Otherwise, be like, why did you take a power nap? Unless, again, I remember when I was a kid in high school, we wore a tefillin and we had shtenders in Darche. So it was actually like you like stick your head in your shtender and take a nice little nap over there. But practically speaking, most people who wear tefillin, you could avoid napping while you're wearing it just for chakras. But when you're wearing it the whole day, the question is, every time you put your head down or need a sneeze or whatever, it's impractical to take your tefillin off, roll it up, and then put it back on again. So we're setting some ground rules here. So someone who goes to get after today, Cholates, sorry, what's up, Cholates? You take them off. Let's minyan, or to leave his tefillin on. But the Lila, he goes to bed at night, since that's probably going to be a long-term sleep, not just a nap. He has to take them off. He may not be going on. Divrei Rabbi Nassim. Okay, seems straightforward enough. Rabbi Yossi there, but that applies to more seasoned adults. But Hayiladim here doesn't mean little children, but it means young men. Bachrim. It means, some 20, a young boy who just got married. They should always, even if they're just taking a nap or something, they should always take their tefillin off, and they shouldn't leave it on because they are accustomed to impurity. What do we mean by impurity? Maybe the concern is that they're more prone to seminal emission, and so that maybe it's because we're that even someone who just had a seminal emission but didn't yet go to mikvah, they are not allowed to wear tefillin. Maybe he adopts this machmir shita that a balkari cannot wear tefillin. Amar Abaye, no, the elavim and shall stay in ilan. The concern is when these younger men, and right, they're newlywed pretty much, and their wives are with them, showing the holy day hergel davar. Maybe when they are being more lightheaded with their wives, if they will forget that they're wearing their tefillin, and that would be a bizayun to the tefillin. So therefore, he instructs the younger ones, that Rashi is the Bachrim, to remove their tefillin. And by the way, not just when they're taking a nap, I should say, but Rashi says afilu bayom, even during the course of the day. I guess the way it developed was is that many people are being osek in all sorts of different kind of matters, and therefore we try to, as a sanctity and concern for sanctity of tefillin, we limit it just to chakras, even if it's not concern for sexual matters, just for things that are not appropriate when one is wearing their tefillin. Okay. Finally, Tanu Rabbanan, shakach b'shimish mikasa b'tefillin. Let's say the thing we tried to prevent happened, that he was wearing tefillin and he had marital relations. He doesn't take it off by the strap. He doesn't take it off by the actual device of the tefillin either. Until he's washed his hands, then he can take them off. Is saying this is a general concern. Maybe he touched a part of his body, or there could have been semen or something that his hands would be dirty from, and therefore he has to cleanse his hands before handling his tefillin. Okay, there you go. That brings us to the Mishnah. Back to our regular program of Hilchos Sukkah. Okay, we switched it up a little bit. So remember, even though, again, in the Gemara, we see the Mishnayos can be separated by Dapim, remember, historically, the Mishnayos were, many Mishnayos could just be one big block of information that flow in from one to the other. So this Mishnah is actually a continuation of the previous Mishnah, being on. Literally just had it. Why am I not locating it? Where was our most recent Mishnah, my friends? Tuf Hey Amid Aleph, I believe. Yes, on 25A on Chaf Hey Amid Aleph, we said Ochlim Veshos Nerayich Chutz HaSukkah, that one is allowed to have again, we defined it, and we're going to continue defining. Basically, if it's not an established meal, if it's a lighter snack, you're allowed to have it outside the sukkah. The question is, where do you draw the line? We're going to talk about that. But at first, this continuation of the Mishnah is going to seem to contradict the earlier ruling that you're allowed to eat an achilas arai outside the sukkah. So here we go. Mice of Rabbi Gamliel Shnei Kosavos. So for Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, they brought him some stew to taste. And Rabbi Gamliel, they brought two dates and a jug of water. And both of them said, "Ba'avru, hello, Masukkah, that we should go up to the Sukkah to consume. We should not go Rabbi Tzadok. What do you think, Rabbi Tzadok? Ochol nikavitza, yeis less than the volume of an egg of bread. Not He didn't wash his hands. He just held it with a napkin. But also puts a sukkah, and he puts it outside the sukkah. Look, you're out. Probably take a beer at the mazon afterwards. Let's just break down what that's saying. Take a look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi kind of articulates what we're supposed to be taking away from that statement. Nutlo b'mapa. Lo natal yadav ela karach b'mapa yadav. He didn't wash his hands. He didn't do netilat yadayim, but he wrapped it with a napkin. Mishum nekiyas, because of cleanliness. Now, as I just noise coming from somewhere. Just gonna mute where it's coming from. Nothing personal. Okay. if you have any questions, let me know. I think I found the source. Okay. So Mishum Nekiyas, because of cleanliness. And Tosa points out actually that Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen, and that's why he was extra careful. Because if you remember, a lot of these, the whole institution of us keeping the Netilas Yadayim today is really just a commemoration of how the Kohanim had to be careful with Trumas and Maaseres during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's funny that people like me who are not Kohanim, we also have to do Netilas Yadayim before bread, but really it was originally just for Kohanim because Truma and Maaseres are extra susceptible to Tumah. Anyway, continue with Rashi. So, A, it seems our tzedek holds that if you have a piece of bread that's less than the volume of an egg, it does not require netilas yadayim, and it doesn't require a sukkah, below by birchas hamazon, and lachem, it doesn't require benching afterwards. Didarish Rabbi Yehuda, because he learns like Rabbi Yehuda in Brachos. V'rachta, we learn from the word visavata, and you will be satiated or sated. Achila sheyesh ba'svia. If you're, I never know if it's satiated or sated. Someone has to. Anyone know the definitive term for it? Paul, you're gonna help me out with that one? No? Okay. Sated. Okay. Whatever it is.
Go
Behind
both
kibbutz. What?
both ways. Both
Oh.
ways.
Oh, okay. Elu ve'elu divrei English, whatever. Okay. Behind kibitza, and that's the kibitza. Avolofanav below bracha. But this whole conversation is about making a birchas hamazon or bracha achrona, whereas you have to make a hamotzi even if you have a little smidgen of bread, because it's forbidden to benefit from this world without first acknowledging God who gave it to us. Okay? So this is only talking about do you eat enough to require birchas hamazon? All righty, my friends. Into the Gemara we go. Aisa listor? What are we doing in this Mishnah over here? In the Reisha, in the beginning of our Mishnah, it tells us that these distinguished rabbis, even when they were being given something to taste, a light snack, a refreshment, they were makbid to go into the sukkah. But I thought we just learned previous mission that we saw that you don't need to go to second year of snack. So what's the answer? Our mission is missing a few words. We need to add in the fine print from the art scroll here. In Bala, right? That was their version back then. In Bala, even though one does not need to eat the refreshments of the sukkah, if you want to elect to be machmir, you can do so, and you don't have to fear that it's coming off as yuhara, as arrogance. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. And that's where our mission then comes in. And if you want to be machmir, you can. And here's two examples of two distinguished rabbanim who were makbid to go to the sukkah, even when they were just tasting refreshments. Very good. Final point. Let's just go up to the Mishnah on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, and then I think that's a natural place to call it an evening. Ushenasnulo Rabbi Tzadok. Next, I think the way that the Hagos Tzionim recommends parsing this is that this is a new section. Okay, so this is from our Mishnah. So Rabbi Tzadok, however, when he was eating less than a volume of an egg of bread, he didn't wash the tilas yadayim for it. He ate it outside the sukkah, and he did not make a birchas hamazon on it. Ha kibetza by sukkah, lemitavit yutud Rabbi Yosef Abai. But you know what the implication is? That if it was the volume of an egg, if the bread was a kibetza and met that threshold, you would have to eat inside a sukkah, which I believe that's how we paskin from Mizonos. That has to be a kibetza. But if you recall, Rashi reminds us, in case we forgot, we learned previously that Abai and Rav Yosef came up with different shiurim. Rav Yosef said 2 or 3 volumes of an egg. And Abai said the amount that someone eats before going to shiur, which are larger than a kibetza. They give more leeway. So is this a contradiction? And the issue is that Abai and Rav Yosef are Amorayim. They don't have a right to contradict precedent in the Mishnah, which is earlier than. So what do we make of this? Are Rav Yosef and Abai arguing with Rabbi Tzadok? So the answer is, Dilma, maybe this is what Rabbi Tzadok means to teach us. Pachos mika beitza netilu bracha lo bai, haka beitza bai netilu bracha, that less than a kibetza does not require netilas yidayim and birchas hamazon, but a kibetza or more does require netila and a bracha, whereas Rashi fills in, avol sukkah avil kibetza namilo. But whereas a sukkah is concerned, even if it's a volume of an egg, you could still eat it outside the sukkah, only when you reach either 2 or 3 kibetza, like Rabbi Yosef says, or again, that ambiguous shear from Abaye about however much you eat a quick breakfast before going to shear, that would be the measurement, the threshold for eating inside a sukkah. Before we conclude, I realized that there is a very interesting sugya here. I did not delve deeply into it, but basically just to let me unblur for a moment, just to give you a little bit of a tour of my resources that I use. So there's basically 5 svarim that I like referring to when I prepare the shiurim, and I read from them depending on, you know, how much time I can find. So there's the Mincha Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach. There's Rav Yashiv's Ha'aros, the Birchas Avram, Rav Arlinger, and Rav Soloveitchik in Rishima Shiurim. And I like using sometimes Rav Zilberstein's Chashuki Chemen for fun questions. All 4 of these svarim I just showed you, they all have something on the following question. I only looked at Rosalovichik, but I saw the others also address, and maybe we'll do this as a standalone shear at some point. The question of Yuhara. So if you backtrack just a moment, you'll remember that our Mishnah was teaching us that even though you're allowed to eat some refreshments outside the sukkah and achilas arai, nonetheless, it is permissible, at very least, if not commendable, to be machmir and to eat even refreshments in the sukkah, and it would not constitute hubris. It would not be yuhara. So Rosalvechik brings up the following point very succinctly. He asks, so the Gemara says, if you want to be stringent and go in the sukkah for nechias arai, it's not yuhara. So if you remember, in Maseches Brachos, we touched on this earlier, that, remember, we learned this in the Gemara previously, that a chassan on his wedding night is exempt from Kriya Shema because his mind is so far, put some Yiddish term in there for whatever, right? It's so discombobulated. I'll just stick to English. It's so discombobulated because of what's coming up. So he from reading Shema. And Rosh Hashanah says, you should be machmir and do it if you think you're so prum, because that would be yuhara. That would be arrogance. So Rav Soloveitchik asked the pretty daring question, why over there is considered arrogant and hubris and yuhara to say soldier through and say Shema anyway on my wedding night? Whereas here, eating refreshments in the sukkah is commendable and is not yuhara. How do we determine when we apply, when we say, look at this person, is so, Baruch Hashem, they're going beyond the call of duty. And then you have people who we say, oh, that guy thinks he's so frum that he's trying to, so what's the, you know, what is the how do we quantify when it's good and when it's bad? So he says two things, and of course there's more to this sugya. Because basically, we assume that any chassid is not going to be able to have proper kavanah. And so for a chassid to go ahead and say, well, I have kavanah, unlike the rest of you people, I could actually have kavanah for Shema, that is yura. Whereas someone who just wants to go into the sukkah to eat and drink and enjoy the sukkah more, that isn't as much a statement of I am better than the other person, I am more capable than the other person. That other person could also just go to the sukkah. It's not a statement about your mental fortitude. The other answer, reconciliation, is Tony Shlomar, she rab you tennis because Omah with the mind, Shaloko wrote to the people of the Shane Ito. So this actually this line comes up in Tainus as well. There's a debate in Maseches Tainus. Maybe that'll be the next Masech that we do together. Who knows? So in Tainus, there's a debate about, it says certain Tanaisim, only like the Tzadikim, only the like the Lechashev Rabbanim in the city would do. So the question is, can anyone volunteer? Or is it Yuarun? Is it hubris for me to take on these kind of fast days, which are meant for the holier people? Who am I to all of a sudden just decide I'm holy? So Rasavijik says that when it comes to sukkah, you're not making a particular statement about yourself when you sit in a sukkah, even eat refreshments. But because he wants to suggest that when it comes to the reciting Shema, it's all about accepting the yoke of heaven. So there's like more of a statement of like, I'm a man of quality, that I can say the Shema with Kavana. So maybe there's something unique to Shema. That's the exception, and the rule is our Gemara, that in general would not be Yuara if somebody wants to be a little bit extra makbid to eat even an Achiyas Arai inside the sukkah. There's clearly a lot more to say on the sugya. God willing, maybe we'll do this as a standalone cheer at some point. But otherwise, that's all, folks. So we pick it up, God willing, Achav Sinam and Aleph, and wishing everyone a good Shabbos, and God willing, on Sunday is the Shul dinner. Wishing Malva, the Judd Love, who's getting the Chai Award. So looking forward to celebrating you, celebrating our community together, and again, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.